This is Duane Reese King conducting an interview for the West Indian Carnival Project. And I'm sitting here with Fuzzy Davis. Today is September 7th, 1994. It's a nice, pseudo-warm, almost autumn day. So I'm sitting here. Is this your mass camp here?
Yeah, you I work out of this location. Oh. Our mass headquarters, as you know, is on 1481 Nostrum, which is Burkitt headquarters. And as our logo is Burkitt, means mass. I try to stay away from the mass camp because of the distractions of people coming in and out and distracting from the work. Mm-hmm. So all Burkitt costumes are made here at 635 East 52nd Street. It's known as the mass camp number 2.
Okay. I have a whole list of questions that I generally ask people, but since Labor Day was just 2 days ago, let's just talk about how it went, what your theme was, and how you feel about the whole event now that it's over with all the things that have been going on. Have you had time to sit and think about it, reflect on the experience?
I reflect on the experience. I can reflect on the experience, good and bad. There are two sides of Labor Day this year. The good side and the bad side, which is the end of the parade. But I reflect our team, and going into it, if you want to go into it. As you know, it has been a hot issue with the postponing or the attempt to postpone Labor Day by the Jewish community. That I would touch last, but basically our team this year was checkmate. The banners consist of the chess game, the pawns, the king's knights, the bishops, and so on. The base of the banner were either black, white, and silver, and black, white, and gold. The kings and queens were in color, either blue and silver, orange and green, red and gold, to the main players in the game. The queen costume portrayed the checkmate, the end of the game, as there were pawns and kings and the castle's position on her costume on the draft board signified the game is over. Mm-hmm. We had 18 sections originally due to poor registration because of the uncertainty of Labor Day. Our membership fell off by at least 500 people. We had a band of close to 900 members spread out among 13 sections.
So people were actually worried about this uncertainty of whether things were going to happen? Well,
exactly. This was our worst registration year.
Huh.
And worst financially also, because our mass camp was not allowed to open during the season because of police harassment.
Uh-huh.
Needed the street to close the camp down on one of the street vendors, which we had no control over. We were not allowed to play music, which we accustomed to have done for the last 25 years. Again, I hate to be some political, but due to the new administration, certain rules were enforced that we were not able to operate as we are accustomed operating.
Huh.
Which put a damper on the whole Labor Day. We had bands like Hawks, this team were not allowed to practice, and these things have caused a problem for everybody. But getting back to our band this year, we try to portray, as we always do, good costumes and a team. I am not sure if the team were understood. The reason being, I was interviewed by a reporter from Channel 11. And I explained to her that we were playing checkmate, and she couldn't understand why the whole band had black and white in squares.
Really?
Yeah.
It's so obvious to me. I saw it, you know, even just the costume, the queen, you know, queen is the most powerful piece in chess. And it was very obvious.
Okay, and she didn't understand. And I was speaking to her in front of that same queen, which is my wife, which I made the question.
Uh-huh.
And she, why is this black and white? Why everything is black and white? It's a checkboard. So do you look at that costume? Do you see? Do you realize what's up there?
No.
No, so that's a chessboard. That's 64 squares. 32 black, 32 white.
Has she never played chess before?
It appears that way.
Okay.
So, you know, so I assume that I would assume that most of our band was not understood. Checkmate. What it is, checkmate. Maybe if you had changed him as a chess checkmate, maybe they would have tied it in. At this point, I don't know.
It seems so obvious to me. It was even up because when I was there, people were talking behind me. And said, oh, yeah, well, there's the bishop and there's the pawn. Oh, this is chess. I find that kind of strange.
Strange, but it happened. I mean, it was a surprise to me on the parkway that the reporter could ask me that question. But as I said, we had a nice time on the parkway. Everybody enjoyed themselves. I think I feel proud that the pictures and the pictures and the idea came alive on the parkway. This is what it was.
Mm-hmm.
They were well received by the crowd, and I hope again we will win people's choice.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk a little bit about some of the problems just on the record, because a lot of this has been in the news, and just even just working on this project for the time that I have been, because I was a little surprised to hear that there was still a lot of uncertainty in the community, because when I would talk to members of the association, they talk about the problems, but it said, come hell or high water, it's going to continue, Carnival is going to happen. So to actually see and talk to people and to realize that your numbers dropped off and that, even a new administration, these kind of issues about the police or this whole quality of life thing that they're enforcing, what kind of effect?
It affected the total atmosphere before Labor Day, because people are coming around by boat, keep masking, and we all camp normally opens the 4th of July weekend. And our camp stays open with a little party and a little music right down until Labor Day Saturday night. And we were not able to open. People felt that there was no Labor Day. Well, once the biggest band in Brooklyn, which is Baroque, followed by Hawks, these camps were not open. But I guess that sent a message that there was no Labor Day with all the talk since January. Because I know the letter was written by one of the leader of the Hasidic community for the postponement of Labor Day to Sunday as opposed to Monday. We have been on the parkway for 27 years. I don't see why it should change. Basically, the Hasidic community has Eastern Parkway between, I think it's Brooklyn and Kingston. There's 24-hour police escort and police supervision there all year round. And we have been there for just one day, and I accept that is the Rosh Hashanah, I think it is the Jewish New Year, which started Monday afternoon. I give them all the respects, and as opposed to trying to work together and making it happen as one community, they have chosen to stop our parade and move it a day ahead. As a result of that, it was the worst Labor Day we have ever had in this country. The first time I've seen a police officer in every vehicle on the parkway. Mm-hmm. They controlled the parkway. Take, for instance, Burkees. It happened to Midas. Midas had two trucks. As they left the parkway, their trucks were divided. They had to stop the music.
Mm-hmm.
It happened to Burkees. They divided our band. We have three trucks and two vehicles which carry entertainment for the members. These trucks were sent in three different directions, and the DJs were told to stop the music.
Oh, really?
Whoever gave those orders, I spoke to a police a captain there who was all in white. Told me he just following orders. Now you can imagine you have a band of 800 people with about 30 or 40 big pieces to walk from Flatbush down to Nordstrom without any music or any encouragement to go in there. It was a total effort to kill, because I know the Hasidic community has been trying for years to move the Labor Day Parade from Eastern Parkway to Atlantic Avenue and Empire. I guess with the new administration, they finally got some hold on it. And we as a people, our West Indian community, have to get our political power. So we have to stop thinking about Trinidad or the island Jamaica as our homeland, and here's our homeland, and stop living as second-class citizens and register to vote, so we can have a voting power, no matter what we want. The Western community in Brooklyn, one of the biggest communities in this town, the biggest ethnic groups are the Western community. And why should we live as second-class citizens and subject to this type of humiliation? I don't see it.
How do you think you can use carnival as a way to mobilizing people to get more involved? I mean, now that this is all over, you're not going to have the same conflict with Rosh Hashanah next year, obviously.
I would hope not.
But, you know, there's certain things that we've seen that's happened this year that could conceivably happen next year, you know, with the police involved.
We have to start to mobilize, register to vote campaign in these mass camps and get our community involved in these things. That's what we have to do. No other way to overcome the problem we have. And the hurtful part is that the Labor Day in Brooklyn generates the most funds for the city, even more than the marathon that is televised nationally.
Mm-hmm.
We bring in more money to the city than any event that is in this city in New York. Why should we be second class?
That's one of the things I was talking to one of the people from the interview. It's so hard to, I think it's well agreed that the carnival brings in a lot of money, but it's so hard
million.
To document it and prove it to people.
It was proven 2 years ago with a study made by Donnie Ford.
Oh, really?
I have a copy somewhere upstairs.
Oh,
it's
you
proven,
do?
Yeah. A
oh,
survey
okay.
was made, and at that point it was, we generated something like 5 or 6 million uh-huh. to Labor Day. It was proven already what fund we generated for Labor Day season. And it's known. It's known. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I understand that this year they stopped all police officers from having leave. Who was at all this weekend just for this parade?
Mm.
We were... People were not allowed to even walk back down Eastern Park from the museum. They were blocked off by the police.
I know.
A band, the parade was supposed to be over at 6 o'clock.
Right.
A band was stopped from going on the park at 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Oh, really?
Yes, it was. Moods. It was stopped from going on the park at 3 o'clock.
Huh. I didn't know that. So it was from just even entering and getting started.
Getting started, but we're not allowed at 3 o'clock in there. There's three hours still to go, and I was not allowed to come on the park.
So you think people are going to speak out about this?
I would hope so. I know there's a couple of the politicians here, and we intend to start a move to mobilize our people.
So there's definitely some discontent.
Yeah, there is discontent throughout this liberty. It's the worst liberty I've seen in it's 27 years of it. I've been involved in almost all of them.
Really? That's interesting. Well, let's talk a little bit about your involvement in this carnival here. Mm-hmm. How did it start? When did it start?
My involvement.
Why did it start?
My involvement. It's my culture. I started...
For the record or for the tape, because I know mm-hmm. I've asked you some of these questions. Can you just mm-hmm. tell us where you're from?
Okay. I was born in Port of Spain, John, in 1945.
Uh-huh.
I was quite fortunate to be a next-door neighbor of one of Trinidad's greatest mastermen, Terry Evelyn, who designed Hawks Band this year. And I was one of the tutelage of George Bailey, who was known as the Cecil B. DeMille of Trinidad Carnival. I grew up at the age of 6, 7, started mass.
Mm-hmm.
I never stopped. I'm a wire bender, artist, designer, seamstress, I do everything. I'm all wrong master. I worked with George Bailey, Albert Bailey, Alvin Bailey, Harris, Salina, which are the big names in Trinidad Carnival. At that time, we took mass from there to where it is today. I left Trinidad in 1968 after spending 6 years in Trinidad Tobago Regiment. I came to New York, to Connecticut, where I worked as a plant manager in the vacuum metallizing industry in Connecticut, resin manufacturing. I lived there for 12 years. During that period of time, I came back and forth to New York with the big names. Again, working in New York with Mervyn Johnson, Maurice Stewart,
mm-hmm.
Randy Boost, and these guys who helped build this carnival today, Errol Payne, Carlos Lezama. My involvement at that point in time when I first came here, our Mardi Gras show was held, I think, on the fourth floor inside the Brooklyn Museum.
Inside?
Upstairs. It was a dinner dance affair.
Mm-hmm.
Costume was taken up on an elevator, very small costume.
Oh. What year was this about?
That had to be around 1970, around that era. We didn't have the back of the Brooklyn Museum as yet.
Okay.
And it evolved over the years to what it is today.
As I came here, and I was employed with the City of New York, where I'm a director in charge of emergency repairs. I have a heavy construction background. I do cut rehabs and so. While here, I started Carnival in Jamaica.
Mm-hmm.
I did costumes in Montreal, Toronto, St. Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
I did it years ago, the first Earth Day. I did a band for St. Louis, the Museum of St. Louis, in St. Louis. The first Earth Day we ever had here. I touched the natural rainforest in St. Louis and also ran a workshop in St. Louis. Under John Nunley, who wrote a book during that Carnival. I did work in Texas, Miami, Atlanta, Baltimore. Just traveling with this Carnival. St. Thomas. And supply materials to various groups all over.
So you do all this on your free time?
On my free time, when it is. My free time. I work with the city, and I work six days a week.
Mm-hmm. So you told me earlier that you commute back and forth from Connecticut here?
I did commute to the period of time until 1980, when I moved to Brooklyn. And I brought that was my first year as a band leader. Before I worked just doing costumes and assistant Maurice Stewart and Mervyn Johnson, this guy. In 1980, I bought one of the biggest bands Brooklyn ever saw at that point in time, 800 members for the Ex-Servicemen Association. Being a member of the Trinidad-Tobago Regiment,
mm-hmm.
we formed a group here, the Ex-Servicemen Association. And I bought a band that year, the biggest band ever. And I bought a second band, Hawaii. And after that, I went back with Moving and just do individual characters and so.
Mm-hmm.
I played Mass in 1968 with George Bailey. That's what was my last year. I do go back home and assist Steve Derrick, bringing band, Queens, or whatever it is. My wife plays Queen for Brookie.
Mm-hmm.
She was fortunate to be Queen of the band in Baltimore, Miami. And look around, you see all these showcases.
Oh my goodness, yeah, I didn't even see
it. All pertaining to my wife, first costume that I make for my wife.
So you're heading down to Trinidad in a couple of weeks?
No, I could not. My wife qualified for the international competition, but
uh-huh.
the restraints of the job and the closeness of Labor Day too, that I can't take the time. I have been on vacation for the last 4 weeks to produce Brookie Band this year.
Uh-huh.
It would be unfair to go back to Okanagan for another 3 weeks to go to Trinidad for the festival.
So what goes on? I see all these costumes and pieces and you're kind of clearing out and cleaning up. So what do you do
after? These costumes here, we are going to Baltimore for the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
There's a parade in Baltimore, which we do in a band in Baltimore. And some of these costumes will be used in Baltimore. We're going to join up with Hawks and Sesame Flyers in Baltimore
okay.
on the United Front to support. Mm-hmm. We as Brookie, we support every Carnival around as possible, go to Miami. As I said, our logo is Brookie, it means mass.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever we can do to promote our culture, we do. Again, I'm quite fortunate to say that myself and a friend of mine from McDonald Yard are the founders of bringing Midas International
mm-hmm.
to New York. I am the founder.
I
started Midas in Boston under the authorization of Steve Derrick at that point in time. We bought two bands here, and the intent again is that you can play Mass in Boston and New York.
Mm-hmm.
So we formed Midas International. And it's spread to Midas International into New Jersey, it's spread to Toronto, it's spread to California.
Explain to me a little bit. It seems like a lot of designers, people have their hands in different bands and participate in a variety of ways. You started Midas
mm-hmm.
International, and you're involved with Brookie. And how does that whole structure work? There seems to be a lot of interrelationships.
It's an interrelationship because we all, the majority, the names, let's put it this way, I hate to say the big names, but the names that you hear today on the Parkway as far as Mass is concerned,
mm-hmm.
you hear Mervyn Johnson, Terry Evelyn, Maurice Stewart, Albert Bailey is here now, that we all from Port of Spain. We all played in the same band at one time. Matter of fact, Steve Derrick, who is known in the museum under the Midas right now,
right.
was in Queen of the Bands and so. I taught him
okay.
as a little kid.
Okay.
Our friendship is very close. Years ago, in the old days back home, don't get me wrong, Carnival is always competitive for bringing big costumes. My queen, I have to beat your queen
mm-hmm.
and winning prize. At that point, those days, years ago, we hid from one another. No, not anymore. We all are friends.
Mm-hmm.
We try to give it our best shot. We are improving our culture. It's up to the panel of five or panel of seven who judge the mass to decide who is the queen, who is the king. We do a costume. We do an idea. It's up to the judges to accept it as far as the the worth of the prize, as queen of the band, king of the band, individual day, whatever it is. But as designers, we exchange ideas. We're not enemies, we're friends,
mm-hmm.
and we're promoting our culture.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you find that I might do work for Boston. I do work. This year, I devoted my efforts solely to Brookings this year. Last year, I did Brookings. I did all the characters for band, Mass Women in Boston. I did some work for Midas Band also.
Okay.
Midas gets some of the materials from me. I have materials here. We order for one another.
Okay.
So, you know, we're all interrelated as far as the names are concerned. We all know to get to meet each other. Like from Sesame Flyers. You just, when you came in the yard, you saw a guy in the yard.
Mm-hmm.
He's the king for Sesame Flyers.
Okay.
So we all get to know each other, meet each other. So, you know, we promote our culture. It's not, and I say that we're all in different areas. I'm a wire bender in one area. They might need a wire bender. You might need, you know, we don't use any blueprints in making these costumes. And the guy does a drawing, it might be an artist. There's an artist or a designer
mm-hmm.
who designs something.
Right.
He's not a builder.
Right.
He just does a design.
He's a designer.
And it comes to the wire bender, the guy who builds it, to take that concept now and become a structural engineer
mm-hmm.
in the sense of it,
mm-hmm.
to make this tunnel. When you do a costume 15 feet high and a person's back, it has to be balanced. These intricacies that has to be done in making a costume. And the person who pays for this costume, gives somebody else to do it, doesn't have that knowledge to build this costume. They might come to me or come to go to see Derek or somebody who has that knowledge to get the wire work up.
So are you telling me that when people pick a costume or they pick from a sketch,
mm-hmm.
they necessarily find people to make the costume? Or
Really?
Oh, individually?
Individually. You remember that you might, let's say the concept of a band.
Uh-huh.
Basically, that's to start from. I have a soccer team. I have a following of, let's say, 300 people that supports my soccer team, my parties and so. So I want to get involved in Labor Day. I want to bring a band. Okay, so I find the best designer. I find a designer to draw pictures for me. I might have a team. I might not have a team. All right?
Mm-hmm.
He does something for me. I take it to, or I get a known costume maker or designer, a costume maker or builder to do this band for me. It doesn't necessarily have to be Fuzzy Davis from New York. I can go to Trinidad and get one of these guys and bring them from Trinidad here to do this band for me. That guy you bring might be only to be able to build section costumes.
Okay.
Section, which is about 25 in section costumes. Then you have the individuals, which are the big pieces, to elaborate on the section. You have a queen, you have a king. And he might not be qualified to do that. So he goes to a qualified person to do it.
Oh. There's so much planning, so much money, I mean, so much coordinating. It's just amazing. You know, I sat there on the parkway on Monday just looking at everything and just, you know, going to all the events and enjoying it and just, you know, just really getting involved in it, and then I think about the people who are on the other side and how much effort and how much time and how much, you know, carnival really is a labor of love.
For the last,
this is no one's
nobody
job.
Nobody can pay me for this. For the last 3 weeks I sleep 2 hours every night. 2 hours. I go to bed at 4 o'clock in the morning, I'm up at 6, 7. Making a schedule what I have to get materials. I order my materials by about 8, 9 o'clock. I go down, pick them up. I took 5 boroughs in the course of a day. I'm like 70 miles. From Staten Island.
There we go.
From Staten Island, Manhattan. I go to Mount Vernon. I go to Long Island. Stop in Queens and come back here. Acquiring materials for my
back. Let me just ask you a real simple question. Why do you do it? Why do you keep doing it?
I love it. I enjoy the Monday when I can sit.
Daddy?
Nobody can pay me to do it. I enjoy the atmosphere, which again was dampened by the new administration, the prelude to Labor Day, the mingling, people coming here, the laughter, the jokes, the fun we have in
part
making
of
a costume.
To get ready.
It's
yeah.
Part of it. And on Labor Day, I can sit back and look at 1,005 people having a good time, enjoying themselves. I feel contented. Whether both people win Banadi or we don't win Banadi, I had 1,500 contented people enjoying themselves on the battle. That's my reward today. What I enjoy doing. I can't be paid for it. Nobody can pay me to do that question. Nobody can pay me for that. I was a masquerader. I played mass until 1968. And I have never been in a costume since then. I just build them and get that satisfaction from it.
Do you ever want to play again? Or you kind of move to
the mood. Some years, you see a show, you go to the museum on a Sunday night and you see the kings and you see what they put there, and you get that urge to go in a king costume for 2 days.
Picking up, we were talking about
the costs
okay. Of everything.
We're the only band, because years ago everybody started 1-2 o'clock in the afternoon, and the bands were not able to make the entire route. We decided that we have the park at 8 o'clock. We're the only band that has breakfast for our members at 7 o'clock every morning. From there, they go to the park, which is straight to the park, and we're able to leave early. The humbug there over the years is that waiting for the politicians, but they normally attend the parade in Manhattan,
right?
And then come to us, excusing, and we lose maybe 4 hours on the park waiting for them.
Okay. But even this year, they didn't even have the parade in Manhattan.
No, it was canceled, and that's why we. Most of the band, we were down at the museum by 2 o'clock, 2-3 o'clock, we were down for that reason. And it should tell the parade organizers something.
Yeah, okay? Exactly.
It should tell them something. Because the majority of the bands were able to, the majority of the bands were able to pass the reviewing stamp. Our costs for each member, we give them breakfast, we give them a t-shirt. Ticket for our party. We have a party in October. You get a ticket for that. And the drinks on the park and the parkway all day. Our entire band. Plus a live band. Our cost, I didn't put the figures together this year, but last year our first 500 members paid for the live band.
Those really?
500 registered paid for the live band.
It's considerable.
540. Our registration fee is $40. That covers basically what I just told you, breakfast,
right,
the buttons, free party.
There's a registration fee plus the cost.
Yeah, well, our total price of the costume is $150. We take about 40 out of that, $150.
Okay.
So basically your costume, you're looking at your costume at $60.
All right.
The first 40 covers all this, the music, the DJs, the trucks, all that stuff, the drinks, everything.
You're not just paying for costume, you're paying for an event, you know.
A free party.
Sure.
In October.
Okay.
Once you get a button,
uh-huh.
Which is a collector's item, and you collect a little button, you go big button.
Okay. I just want to ask you some particular questions about Labor Day Carnival here. This is the Labor Day Carnival. But how has Carnival changed over the years, in the years that you've been participating?
You have more costume bands, and more participation. Since I started, you know, bands, we have been on the park for 7 years now, and we have built Liberty to what it is today. working in those days were mud band, old mask, but old mask, bars and that type of stuff. I was fortunate to bring Gokish from that to where it is today, a costume band. In those days, a band, the biggest bands, as I said, were Maurice Short, Mervyn Johnson, were first growing bands of 100, 150, 200 people. They were not much costume bands.
Mm-hmm.
This quality of masks were not that. And I'm quite fortunate to say that the costumes here in New York are on par or better than the costumes in Trinidad.
Really?
Yeah. Reason being that Trinidad has become, Trinidad Carnival has become commercialized.
Oh.
Whereas Brooklyn has not become commercialized as yet.
In what way is Brooklyn, how do you consider Brooklyn not commercialized?
Most bands in Trinidad are sold out by September.
Okay.
To play in the Green Berkeley, the Peter Minchells and these bands. Which they portray savage, these bands. A bodysuit, like I can remark, you know, I remark that you could be a costume in a pizza box.
Mm-hmm.
Pizza box.
Pizza box, okay.
It's just a collared girdle and a bodysuit. You can see these can't fit in a pizza box.
Yeah.
But there's more to go with it.
Yeah.
Right? The volume, most of the stuff are manufactured.
Oh, so they're not even hand-crafted anymore.
So it's become commercialized.
Well, let's jump. I like to use this as a segue to, you say not yet.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you see Brooklyn's Carnival going? What direction? I mean, there's so many directions it can go into.
There's a lot of directions it can go in. I see it in its baby stage right now, personally. The 27 is in its baby stage. It has a lot to grow. The association has to work with the bands to nationalize this festival, like the Macy's Day Parade. There's a lot of money in it for everybody. They have to open up, because my reason for saying that is that the association cannot sell anything to a sponsor.
Right now? Or?
Right now. And once it stays this way, they cannot sell anything to a sponsor. They have nothing to offer a sponsor. But basically behind the Brooklyn Museum and some banners on the parkway, which is stationary. If you were to advertise for national television, the bands have to be free. The sponsorship of bands at a 40-foot flatbed with a 40-foot banner advertising up for them, which has to come from the bands, not the association.
How closely did the bands and association work together, actually?
In the last 2 years, they started, they had two band launches, two festivals down in Boys High. And it was successful for the bands, basically trying to work with the Zalman. So I think more could be done. Because I don't know, when you hear Labor Day, you hear Carlos Zalman, you don't hear anything else. Labor Day is Carlos Zalman. He have worked hard to achieve that, don't get me wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But it's time for change. Of the involvement. Lizama is not Labor Day in the sense of Lizama alone doesn't make Labor Day.
Mm-hmm.
The bands and people that make Labor Day. So he has to work with it to improve it and deliver it away.
Do you think people would like to be more involved?
Yeah, people would like to be involved. But then who you go to? Lizama? Who you go to?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's all people, that's the person who's out there for everyone
most
else.
Exactly what I'm saying, most of these people that doesn't know Burger Keys, doesn't know Hawks.
Right.
They know Sesame Flyers. They don't know who's Pan Groove. They know who's Mervyn Johnson. They know who's Maurice Chubb.
I know Mervyn Johnson. He has some stuff in our collection.
Okay. Because of that, because of his collection. But I'm saying, who outside knows Mervyn Johnson? Nobody knows Fuzzy. I've been here for 26 years making masks out here. Right? That's what I'm trying to say. You know what I'm trying to say? But these people know Carlos Lezama's label. And now you have Joyce coming up, Lezama coming up. But even in association, there's Errol Payne. A little bit in association that make Labor Day happen, that nobody knows. Errol Payne is the Art and Cultural Director of the Labor Day Association. Who knows Errol Payne? And why I mention his name, he asked my mother for me to play mass.
Oh, really?
Errol Payne. I have a lot of respect for him. But who knows Errol Payne? He runs the show. He runs the mass in the museum. But who knows it?
So how do we get people to know who everyone else is? How do we make Carnival more visible?
It's up to the association working with the bands, working with the band leaders, the groups, the various organizations. Mm-hmm. That's the involvement. It just doesn't happen. We wouldn't hear about Carlos until next year sometime again.
It's not enough of an ongoing relationship. When it's needed.
Now we have
there's a problem.
There's a problem. You need everybody. Mm-hmm. And you don't hear anything about it again. And 8 weeks before Labor Day or 10 weeks before Labor Day, you start planning, we get involved in it again. No matter one or two meetings with us. That's it. And it just dies.
Do the bands themselves have any kind of organization?
Yeah. They have the biggest organization. Hawks. Workies. We years ago, last 4 years, we had a joint venture of fundraisers for medical equipment for Trinidad. A lot of community involvement with these groups that we take part in. We're trying to make our alliance. Mm-hmm. But these groups are out there. But they're on their own. Mm-hmm. Not under the auspices or working with the association for building this. And we do, as I say, we do a lot of community work. As Brookies itself. We sponsor a netball team, we sponsor a football team.
Right. Right.
Mm-hmm. But nobody in the upper level of the knows about Brookies. I mean, to the Western community playing mass, Brookies is a household name. Same as Hawks.
Mm-hmm.
It's a household name.
Mm-hmm.
That's about as far as it goes.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Any group could command 2,000 people. A force you work with here in Brooklyn. It's a force.
That's a nice lead into my next question. That's a lot of these things. A lot of these things you've answered already, just in our discussion so far. What's special about Brooklyn's Carnival? Is there anything special about it? Opposed to what you participated in Trinidad, opposed to the other carnivals in the United States or even in Canada?
And Brooklyn is it. It's the biggest parade in North America. It's where people meet people. It's where the guy in Texas who doesn't go for carnival in Trinidad, for whatever reason, he can't get the time, whatever it is, comes into Brooklyn and sees his friend, sees his mother, sees his old cousin. The guy who's from Jamaica, he hasn't gone back home in how many years.
Mm-hmm.
He sees his cousin out there, his friend, he grew up with. It's a meeting place.
Is Brooklyn kind of looked at as the leader? It is the leader.
Kind of outside of Trinidad.
Outside of Trinidad?
It is the leader in Trinidad.
Is there, you've expressed the need that the carnival needs to grow or reach out. And I mean, there are all kinds of issues of sponsorship. How do you get sponsorship? More people have to know about the band. More people need to know about this. Are there different things happening in other carnivals that there's any possibility of one of them eclipsing Brooklyn's carnival?
Or
a different type of organization?
Yeah, let's take St. Thomas. I mean, we reach in St. Thomas Carnival Week, all the years on the radios.
Mm-hmm.
In St. Thomas. It's national.
But it's part of the national culture.
Yeah, it's part of the culture.
Which makes it very different being here in this country. Exactly. Because there's so many. We're still trying to figure out what this national culture is because there's so many different people. St. Thomas is not that old.
Jamaica is not that old.
Mm-hmm.
And like I did work in Jamaica Carnival. I started it for the poor people. And there are two groups in Jamaica.
Mm-hmm.
Byronese started the upper level.
Mm-hmm.
I was there with Steve Derrick. And I went and started in Jamaica for the four people. And when I got to Jamaica, I heard one reggae, Murder, She Wrote. I was astonished. For the time I spent in Jamaica, I spent 2 weeks in Jamaica and I heard one reggae tune, Murder, She Wrote. And it was soca.
In Jamaica.
I was skeptical of going to Jamaica because of the violence associated with the Rastas and that
uh-huh.
idea, that bad. I was very skeptical, and finally I went to Jamaica. And I couldn't believe it. That week, maybe for that week, or that time I was there, it's carnival time, they're promoting it. You look at the commercial in Jamaica, for Jamaica on that time. You come to Jamaica Carnival in Jamaica. What are we doing here in New York? Nothing. People go to Jamaica, flights are full. St. Thomas, the flights are full. St. Croix, the flights are full. St. Croix Carnival is in summer, in December, January. I get calls already for St. Thomas, for St. Croix Carnival. Miami, the same thing. Atlanta just started. The city took it over. How much money they're making? Right?
The city took it over?
When I said to part of organizing it and assisting them, their jerseys, there's mugs from Atlanta Carnival. Toronto was run by the city. How big and how much money? They realized the worth of Carnival. Everybody quoted these carnivals. Boston is involved in it.
So
there are 3 carnivals in Boston right now.
3?
Well, there's one carnival that's on Cambridge.
Uh-huh.
In Boston.
Why do you think is that people don't recognize?
Because as I said earlier,
I mean, you have
we are not politically active.
Because the community is not
politically
active.
If we were what happened, it would never happen. It would never happen. And, you know, the advancement of Brooklyn Carnival over the years came about by we taking the officials, the police department, and City Hall to Trinidad to see what it's like. To see what Trinidad Carnival is. Not violent, you don't have violence in Carnival. You would have occasional scuffle. But we have a good time, that's what it's all about. And you couldn't understand how so much people could be in the same area and have a good time without any problem.
I don't think that concept gets across. I don't even think a lot of people still who even go to Carnival, or I mean, people have said this to me, they don't necessarily understand what it's all about. Or maybe there's still that left level of skepticism.
But what
are they doing? They're just a crowd of folks just getting together. And
what are they doing?
This can't be that important. What is this all about?
What kind of a study? When you feel after after the emancipation of the slaves, which I'm quite sure you're aware of, which Carnival Monday and Tuesday, 2 days before Ash Wednesday,
mm-hmm.
that is where Trinidad Carnival originated from. Maybe we started a steel band. Okay? It's all over now. Each country has a festival. Carnival falls, Labor Day falls, but I think it's Jamaica and Trinidad Independence.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, they got independence from the British.
Mm-hmm.
So we see them as Labor Day. Trinidad Defense is August 31st. There's a big bash in Trinidad. They follow the same with these at that point when the Western Federation broke up. Jamaica got their independence and then Trinidad got their independence on the same time.
Uh-huh.
And up here, the Labor Day started on the same time.
Hmm.
And it's that mood about these. You have Nottingham in England.
Right.
That finally patterned their carnival from Trinidad. That a band leaves from Fulton Street and parades to a point, get judged and go back. So where did it go? So the whole of Nottingham is just like Trinidad.
Well, I'm definitely after
hearing
this immersing myself in this project this year. I really want to go to Trinidad just to see. Just to see. I mean, it was just so, I was just absorbing. I was listening to people. I was just absorbing it all. And I love to compare now.
Love it. Trinidad has at least 200 bands. Mass bands, the big name bands like Raoul Garrett, Peter Minshall, Wayne Berkeley, their bands are sold out in September for the parade in February. Mm. Sold out, no more costumes.
Wow. When do you start thinking about a new theme?
I already think about it. I already was 4 weeks ago, 4 or 5 weeks. I just feel after this year, I'm going wild.
Are ya?
Yeah, wild band next.
Okay.
Indian, African, Aborigine, South Pacific.
Mm-hmm.
That is wild. I feel it's what we need to revamp.
Well, you've basically addressed everything that I've wanted to ask. Do you have anything else that you want to say and have on the record? Or? Your perspective, you want jotted down for immortality?
I would like to see Brooklyn kind of be accepted nationally. Labor Day, which is called our Labor Day, accepted nationally. Without the restriction, there's no fear. We enjoy ourselves. I would like to see there's a particular point in on the parkway, wherever it is that the bands leave from the mass camp, go to that point, be judged, and go back and enjoy themselves. Okay? Like in Trinidad, there's routes, people pass, you know, you pass and the people stand, you look at the bands, people gonna enjoy yourself. It tends not to restrict the passage. By having it that way, you open up the marketplace for the small vendors, the small stores, that a particular band passes by, are able to sell some beer, sell some soda, sell some drink. Everybody gets a piece of the action.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think there's a woman behind me, or it's a woman I talked to, she's saying, you know, this is very different from Trinidad. Why are there barricades here? This would never happen.
No, no
problem. You know, you'd be able to just flow and deal with it. But I guess it's part of American culture, right?
Yeah,
it's
American culture. You have to be back. It's a criticism of a parade. A parade's supposed to be marching straight down.
Crowd control.
There's no crowd control. People who come to see mass know what mass is about. They know what a parade is about. I've never seen a parade. There's no restriction. The band can leave.